The AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The Declaration of Unity. This we owe to AA's future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united. For on AA unity depend our lives and the lives of those to come. I would now like to hand over to our first speaker to the evening, and that will be Susan.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll read that tradition long form. Tradition 12 long form. And finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. This to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of him who presides over us all. I'd like to thank the organisers very much for the opportunity to speak tonight about Tradition 12. I see we're a fairly small group tonight, and that's just fine. It's always a privilege to carry the message to one person or 100 people, whatever it happens to be. So I thought that I'd start by actually sort of just saying that and it's been said in all the previous presentations on tradition, on the various traditions, so I won't go over and over the same fodder, but except to say that the traditions as such were first printed in the Grapevine in about 1946. I think they were finally accepted at conference in about 1948. You've heard the long version of Tradition 12. And I just thought I would say something about what Bill Wilson himself said about Tradition 12 as printed in the Grapevine in November 1948. And he says, "One may say that anonymity is the spiritual base, the sure key to all the rest of our traditions. It has come to stand for prudence and, most importantly, for self-effacement. True consideration for the newcomer if he desires to be nameless, vital protection against misuse of the name Alcoholics Anonymous at the public level, and to each of us as a constant reminder that principles come before personal interest, such is the wide scope of this all-embracing principle. In it, we see the cornerstone of our security as a movement. At a deeper spiritual level, it points us to still greater self-renunciation." So I thought I would approach the tradition first of all by looking at the first part of the tradition that, perhaps just a little bit of talking about how this tradition came about. And I got this just from the various bits of AA literature around the place. But I remember when I talked to newcomers, you know, and they worry about somebody who knows them seeing them at an AA meeting. And I always say to them, you know, this is an anonymous society, not a secret society. But the truth was, when AA first started, it really was a secret society. It wasn't advertised. The only way you got to hear about it was if you happened to... if somebody mentioned it to you at a hospital, or if a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend mentioned it to you that the groups existed. So they were that was kind of the only way you would get to know about any meetings and indeed attend them. And of course, at that stage, at the beginning, the groups weren't really called anything either. They were just kind of a band of alcoholics who kind of got together to talk about their disease. So they were afraid of being found out, of course, because of the social stigma that existed then and to some extent, certainly still exists today in terms of what it means to be an alcoholic living in the disease. So they kept the group secret, you know, as a way to hide from public distrust and contempt. And the foreword to the big book says that anonymity is essential because we are too few at present to handle the overwhelming number of personal appeals which may result from this publication. So in other words, the other reason they didn't advertise themselves very much was because they were a bit worried about the waterfall effect or the deluge effect of what would happen to the few of them who were actually in these groups and talking to each other if other people found out about them. They felt quite incapable of actually handling the influx, the huge influx of inquiries, and, you know, basically they would be overwhelmed. So, and at that stage, they certainly didn't have any particularly boundaries or didn't have any boundaries or guidelines about how the fellowship would be run. You know, they just got together and talked to each other and found out rather by severe trial and numerous errors, you know, what works and what doesn't. So that's right. And of course, you know, alcoholics being alcoholics, you know, he says, you know, some wanted to shout it from the rooftops. So they had absolutely no concept of anonymity or keeping themselves secret because, you know, they thought this cure that they'd found was, you know, just so spectacularly amazing that they just wanted to tell everybody about it. And things like restraint of tongue and pen and publicity and all the rest of it, you know, they learned some pretty harsh lessons from having to go through the teething troubles that eventually ended up with the traditions as written. So when it comes to the question of how anonymous an AA member should be, they eventually decided that they should be an anonymous society, not a secret society. By 1946, when the first version of these traditions came about as written by Bill, and he actually called them 12 Points to Assure Our Future, an Alcoholics Anonymous Tradition of Relations, which was what they were called to begin with, but it eventually ended up being known as the 12 Traditions. But they really had to work hard to find out where that fine line is between promotion and attraction, because they had to find safe ways of letting people know about AA while not forcing it on them, which would have been very detrimental to the fellowship as a whole. So when they came to the question about how anonymous an AA member should be, they decided that at an individual, a personal level, that basically an AA member should be as anonymous as he wanted to be. And that means, you know, whether he told his family or his friends or his doctor or his therapist or his minister or his employer was completely up to the individual, as long as it was kept at that very personal level. But then, of course, they, on a wider level, they had to contend with the idea about, you know, what do we do about newspaper articles? What do we do about people who are asked to speak in public? What do we do about, well, for instance, the one that Rockefeller held, the dinner for AA, which I think was ostensibly supposed to be a fundraiser, but I think after that experience, they realised that it was okay to hold dinners for public awareness, but not necessarily as a means of raising funds. And, you know, they needed to somehow find a safe way of channeling the public interest into so that people could become aware of AA without specifically knowing the individuals who were involved. And what they wanted to do, of course, which is what the whole 12 Traditions is about, is to actually sort of create a way of keeping this society or keeping the fellowship in a way that created like a protective web of an agreement of how this thing was going to hang together amongst the members themselves. I can't imagine, quite frankly, just how difficult that must have been for them back in the day to have come through all the hardships that they did. Anyway, I thought I'd also break down the tradition itself a little bit and talk about, I'm not saying this is AA's opinion, I'm very much saying this is my opinion, but how I interpret Tradition 12. And the first question I asked myself was, the tradition very specifically says that anonymity is a spiritual foundation. So my question to me was, so how, in what way is anonymity spiritual? You know, and it's, you know, anonymity is such a funny word and and so many people struggle to say it. But, and I'm not going to give you a dictionary definition because I'm quite sure everybody knows what it actually means. But in what way is the principle of anonymity a spiritual foundation? So in the 12 and 12, it says that the most spiritual thing about Tradition 12 is the idea of it being a sacrifice, mainly a sense of self-sacrifice. And what I mean when I say sacrifice is that, you know, what we're sacrificing here in terms of anonymity is mainly expectations. For me, it's, you know, expectation of a reward or expectation of recognition or expectation of reciprocation, you know, that somebody will give me back what I give them or, you know, whatever it is. So those are the things I need to sacrifice in terms of, you know, if I'm to stick to this principle of anonymity, those are the things that I'm prepared to sacrifice. And I'm also prepared to sacrifice myself. I mean, Bill calls it self-renunciation, but, you know, I like it's, you know, the sacrifice of myself means that I'm going to be willing to help other people, that I'm willing to be open-minded, that I'm willing to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous without thought of reward, that I'm willing to stay right-sized, neither over, you know, neither too big or too small, but to stay as just a member in the middle. As I say, and that the idea of renunciation of self. So the idea of anonymity means that I give up the idea that I need to be somebody separate from anyone else in AA. And of course, the other spirit, apart from self-sacrifice, sacrifice of self and sacrifice of my need to be somebody, you know, the idea of anonymity means that I can just be a person with a name as part of a group. It's a great equaliser. It means that I read somewhere it says, I think it might have been Chuck Chamberlain who said it, you leave what you are at the door and walk in as who you are. So you don't walk in with any titles if you happen to have university degrees or if you're a doctor or, you know, you're a judge or a minister or anything. You know, when you walk in that door, you're just Fred and, you know, you're just Susan. It doesn't matter what other titles you might have out there in the rest of the world in society. Once you walk through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's all about who you are, and which was a fortunate thing for me because I had no bloody idea when I first walked into AA. I can tell you, I had no idea who I was. But I most decidedly had to leave what I was at the door, you know, mother, wife, worker, driver, knitter, you know, whatever I happen to be gets left at the door, although I have to admit I do bring my knitting to meetings from time to time. But it encourages humility. It encourages this sense of not only belonging, but you know, these spiritual values of humility, being personally indistinct, participation, prudence. There's one that Bill W. was keen on is the idea of tradition 12. Gratitude, of course, for who I am without any other titles or any other thing to identify me. And the acknowledgement that this is, that AI is this strong entity that that I can rely on without having to be anything or do anything particularly myself. So, and to be, and the unconditional membership side of things as well, once again, anonymity provides me the opportunity to be whoever I am. And more importantly, of course, AI has got a lot of, we've got a lot of very important and well-known people who are there, and to provide, this concept of anonymity also provides a safe space for who those people are as well, without fear of actually being, caught out or having to be anything other than an alcoholic in the rooms of an AA, as part of an AA meeting. So all those things I mentioned, humility and gratitude and prudence and participation and, all that sort of stuff. I mean, they're most decidedly spiritual values. So in terms of tradition 12, that's what makes anonymity spiritual. Certainly that's what makes anonymity spiritual for me. So I just wanted to mention then of course, this being the last webinar, the last seminar for the traditions, just a bit of a wrap-up about, I think anonymity is kind of the principle that runs through all the traditions, but probably the most important thing about Tradition 12 is that it urges members to place principles before personalities. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about what principles we're actually talking about. And quite apart from the principles that are presented in the steps, we have the principles in the traditions, which are things like tradition one is about unity and the common good. Tradition two is about trust and about listening for what the higher power wants through the voice of other alcoholics. Another principle is identity, so there's no exclusions from the fellowship. Tradition four is about autonomy, which means that there's no centralised government, that people are allowed to be as independent as they please. Tradition five is about purpose, so the singularity of purpose to carry the message to suffering alcoholics. Tradition six is about solidarity, meaning that there's no outside influences or endorsements as far as the fellowship is concerned. Tradition seven is about responsibility, for instance, financial responsibility, but not only financial, also things like that principle for me means look after yourself. Don't expect anybody else to do it. Tradition eight is about fellowship. We depend on each other. We don't become professionals, and there are no professionals who are actually involved with the fellowship itself. Tradition nine is about democracy and structure. Tradition 10 is about neutrality, so we don't align ourselves with any outside groups. Tradition 11, of course, is also about anonymity, but it's anonymity at the level of media, public media. And tradition 12, for me, is about spirituality. It's about the principles have to come before personalities. It's not about being right. We can apply, or I can apply, these principles in all levels of my membership of IA personally, in meetings, when I do 12-step work, even in sponsorship. You know, these are principles. These are the principles I can apply before I, you know, that allow me to be in right relation with other people. You know, and I have to be really careful to to not compromise those principles as well. You know, I think it's important that, you know, much like the steps, we don't want to be perfect, but we want to aim. You know, this gives me an aim. It gives me a focus. And it also, the traditions also mean that we're all working from the same page. It allows me to carry the message, not be the message. You know, you don't have to be like me. You just have to follow the principles. So, and the last bit, of course, is to live in thankful contemplation of him who presides over us all. And, yeah, you know, there's that gratitude and the gratitude for all those who've gone before us, all those we've known who have passed, all those who are currently in the fellowship, all, you know, I'm grateful for all the people who are yet to come into the fellowship. If you're new, welcome. You know, you're in the right place. It isn't easy, but it always works and it's always worth it. And I'll wrap it up there. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan, for your share. Tradition 12, the short form. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I would now like to hand over to our second speaker, Bruce. Bruce, please take it away.
Thanks, Andrew. Hi, I'm Bruce. I'm an alcoholic and good to be here. And thanks for putting it on and the organisers. And thank you, Susan. That was interesting. And I think, so I'm going to speak a bit about Tradition 12 in terms of my experience of it and you know, how I've seen it in action, you know, in the real world, if you like. And it has been, you know, it has been big. It's been as it says, you know, this is a tradition which underpins all the other ones. It's a principle which applies to all the others, you know, a spiritual principle. And being the last one, obviously there's something special about that, you know. So great to talk about it. And I know for me, you know, when I got to AA, you know, nearly 20 odd years ago, I didn't know anything about the traditions or even really the steps or anything like that. You know, I just knew that I was in a desperate state and, you know, I shuffled into AA. But even before I got there, just to get me through the door, the fact that it had the word anonymous in the title was important to me for some reason. You know, that was key in getting me there, that it was going to be anonymous. And, you know, I remember going as far as, I mean, firstly, because it was, I probably thought about going long before I actually walked through the door, you know, months or maybe years, I don't know. I mean, there was a period of time where I was thinking about it, you know, toying with it. It was coming up on the radar. And I didn't want to go to AA, you know. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. And I definitely didn't want to stop drinking, you know. It was just no way, because it was embarrassing and ridiculous. And, you know, who knows, you know, I'm sure everyone's had a bit of reluctance. Not many people gleefully skip into AA and go, brilliant, you know, where do I get my newcomer's badge? This is awesome, you know, I'm here. It's the opposite, or it was for me, you know, it was the pit of despair, it was the end of the road, it was all that, you know. So it was the last place I wanted to be, you know. And yet I was desperate, you know, and I'd spent the preceding decade trying to not go to AA, you know, trying to prove that I could drink and manage my life, you know, like a normal person, and I could not, you know, on my own. So that's what got me into AA. And this anonymity thing was important to me. I remember, and I look back, it's a little bit ironic as I think about it now. I remember that first meeting I went to, what happened was somebody anonymously sent me some AA literature. And I was furious, you know, just arrived in the post, just like this envelope with half, you know, like the newcomer's pack. And to this day, I've got no idea who sent it, but it literally could have been anyone. It could be any family member, someone at work, any neighbor, any, you know, who knows, like, It arrived through the post. I was furious, but weirdly, I didn't just throw it away. I didn't just dismiss it. You know, I actually kept it. Like, I was furious, but I kept it. It was just weird. And it was, I remember I stashed it under this pile of unpaid bills, that drawer. And it was every now and then I go, oh, you know, things have all gone wrong again. And I'd sort of get it. And sure enough, you know, one day I was that bad that I actually rang it, you know, and rang them up a couple of times. And of course, they said, go along to the meetings and reassured me that it was all anonymous and don't worry. You know, it was kind of that, just go and check it out. It's that thing, you know, no one really lectured me, and they didn't care what my name was or anything, really, like nothing. There was no, and then, you know, that was important to me at the time. And it was weird because I was such an obvious alcoholic as well, you know. And I went to this meeting the other side. I remember I walked, it was about 50-minute walk from my house, even though there was a meeting 5 minutes walk from my house, because I just wanted to be in a different area. I walked all the way over to Highgate in London, which is quite a posh area. I was definitely not living there, I can tell you that. And I thought there'd be a higher class of drunk, you know, and also, like, I wouldn't know anyone. but even though, like, if you live next door to me, you'd see me passed out on the steps of my flat every now and then because I couldn't get the key in the door. And it was just, you know, all that ridiculous stuff. So here I am shuffling off, you know, anonymously to this meeting. And it was just important, you know, that was in my mind what it was about. And I got to that meeting and heard the message, you know, and people got up and shared, and they gave their first name. And I realized it wasn't, you know, that big a thing. And, you know, I heard the message, but I wasn't able to act on it. So it was another 6 years of the same old stuff. And eventually I got back to AA, you know, 6 years later, I came back to AA ready to do business. You know, this time I was beaten, like, I'm not checking it out. I'm here. I'm done. And that was the right. I had step one, you know, I'm powerless over alcohol. My life is unmanageable. I'm here. And I went in, and I don't think I even cared. I didn't care at that point. You know what I mean? I was that desperate, that anonymity. I didn't care at that point. I was just like, I'll do whatever it takes, you know. And I think that's a good frame of mind to be in to get started in AA. And, you know, I attended meetings and then started to learn a little bit more about, you know, the steps and traditions and what actually I was going to need to do to get well. You know, stopping drinking was a good start, but I was going to have to start doing this other stuff. I learned, to my consternation, I was actually going to have to do some stuff. And so, you know, it was all just still all about me. I'm not thinking about how AA is run or what's going on or who's just, I'm not even thinking about any of that stuff. I'm not even thinking about the fact that somebody made the tea, that somebody opened the door. I'm not, it's just me. I'm just a self-centered alcoholic, you know. So slowly, you know, the program starts to open. Yeah, it says, well, maybe you should start thinking about other people. And it gives you some tools to do that, you know. And sure enough, start to look at the steps and then eventually the traditions, you know. And I'd literally dismissed the traditions as a whole because they were on the wall with the word traditions on them, which I mean, it's like this traditional thing that you don't have to worry about. It's like having a photo of the Queen on the wall. It's nice, but it's not going to act, doesn't have a lot of bearing on my day-to-day life right now, you know. And I've learned that it's the opposite, that the whole glue, you know, the whole thing that kept it together, the whole thing, you know, the fact that AA was there when I needed it. And in that moment of, that window of opportunity where I was ready to do it, it was there. It was just all there. It was all there, ready to go because of the traditions. That's why it survived and thrived as long as it has, you know. And everything is kind of the opposite of the way you would generally run an organization, you know, a company or a team or whatever. Like, you just wouldn't do it, you know. All this, there's no rules and no one's in charge and all that stuff. Like, it's just counter. And in terms of our promote, you know, so I got up to this anonymity thing. And the first thing I learned about in anonymity was more tradition 11, right? That thing where it wasn't so much about we're all going to be secret squirrel, you know, going around in sunglasses and pretending we're not there. It's not really that. It's anonymity at the level of press, radio and films. And I could see that. And it was, you know, I could see why. You know, they said, well, you know, if you get these celebrities out there and then they go and drink, it doesn't work. And, you know, so I could kind of get that, right? So that was my first evolution of my take on anonymity. And, you know, but it sort of evolved from there, but I still hadn't really looked at, you know, tradition 12, right? But sure enough, you know, got up to it and having worked through the steps and hung around it a bit more, and then finally had a look at tradition 12. And tradition 12 is sort of repeating something that we've already said in tradition 11. They've already said personal amativity at the level of press, radio, and films, right? They've already said that. And yet, tradition 12 is kind of elaborating on the theme of anonymity and linking it specifically to humility and spirituality. And also then saying, you know, that humility and this anonymity underpins everything. And and I remember that was a novel concept. All of this was a novel concept to me. Humility itself was a novel idea, which I hadn't really had much of in my life. Weirdly, right? In a way, you know, I should have been a humble guy considering the way my life had been unfolding, but I wasn't. I had this that classic towering sort of ego or low self-esteem sort of at the same time. I'd be better than everybody or worse than everybody, and that kind of zigzagging personality pattern, whatever that is. And it's just ego, right? It's all about me and how I feel and how I'm going, and it's self-centeredness of the alcoholic. So, you know, so to start learning about humility and also, like, what does that even mean? You know, humility to me, it just meant this kind of something that Christian people might have. It's just, you know, I had no conception of what it meant, but also how I was going to do it. How am I going to put this into practice, you know, into my actual life? You know, and AA's gave me some tools to do that. You know, I do it very imperfectly, that's for sure. But, you know, I'm working on it. And as it says, you know, the things that we do in AA, doing them anonymously, you're just doing it for the sake of it, right? Not, you know, all the service that I've done in AA, you know, and I've done a few jobs and a few different things here and there. None of that goes on my LinkedIn profile, you know, it doesn't go on my resume, you know, that I did all this whatever in AA. You know, when they ask you in job interviews, now, what are your hobbies and extracurricular activities? And, you know, are you on any committees? You have to kind of, you know, all that's just, it's just left out, right? Because that's not what it's about, you know. All the other things I do, you know, I can make a fuss about, but not AA. You know, it's off to one side. And all the things I do, all the service I do, and everything is anonymous, should we say, in terms of the outside world. And it's as it should be, you know, as it should be. And it's not, I'm not really doing it to get a pat on the back, or I don't really care. I honestly don't really care about all that. You know, it's not really, I mean, I am doing it, you know, but it's, to make it sound like I'm completely selfless would be incorrect, because it's all just to keep me sober. You know what I mean? So it is all about me in the end of the day anyway. But I don't want any applause or a medal or anything. I don't need a pat on the back, you know. I just need to do it. And, you know, I know that but when I started to do that initially, the first few things I did ever anonymously, or, you know, where I'm not doing it for a kind of, I was all, you know, when I wasn't doing it for my sort of ego, and I was like, I was always doing things like to show off and to be the main man and to, you know, like anything would be on a sports team or at uni, like the things I used to, everything was about just getting attention really. And, you know, showing off, or just a bluff and bravado in the pub, and just the crazy stuff I used to get up to, all really was about ego. And so I have to learn to not be like that, you know, be the opposite of that, and just do stuff just to help somebody, maybe try that. And I remember it was a novel experience, you know, and I had to literally be shown in AA, you know, how to do it, you know, my sponsor was, give me stuff to do, you know, give that guy a phone call, take that guy to the meeting, and just go do it. Like, I'm not going to get anything for it, anything material or any whatever. I'm just doing it to go and help someone else out. But he said it will help you, probably more than it helps him, that's for sure. As with anything you do in AA, you know, that's the case. And have faith that that's it. And I remember the first few times I did this, you know, doing something anonymously, should we say, and going, oh, really, you know? I find it very hard not to tell somebody when I've done something, you know. If I'm even at home, you know, if I can't empty the dishwasher without announcing it to everybody. Like, I do it. I'm a great bloke. I really am. But just as long as everybody knows about it, you know, that I mended the plug, that I did that, and I just want everyone to know that. I did that at 4 p.m. And, you know, I can't help myself, you know. So it's just natural for me. So humility, the journey of humility for me has been very interesting. And, you know, that thing about principles before personalities is something I learned in AA, and I've applied it in AA a lot, you know, in terms of, like, over the years, if you think about all the people that come and go, you can't like everybody in AA, you can't agree with everybody. There's, you know, I've been involved in things where there's been disagreements or controversies or whatever, and we've always worked through it by applying the principles, you know. And also, you know, the good news about that is I don't have to therefore get all, you know, get stuck into things with my personality in the way that I used to get so invested in the outcome and winning and losing and all that sort of stuff. I'm just like, okay, well, what's the principle here? Okay, let's try and apply that, you know. And I'm just, you know, off the top of my head, you know, just the way that the democratic principles in AA or the group conscience, the principle of the group conscience, you know, is something that I learned, because that's a classic place where you can get a load of personalities and you might be agreeing or disagreeing. And if it's about what brand of tea we're going to get, it's fine. But, you know, I've seen things where there's, you know, there's been money involved or just big disagreements. And they're important. You've got to have disagreements. You've got to have different points of view. It's healthy. But, you know, we work through it in according to the principles, you know, the democracy of it and listening, you know, giving everyone equal time and an equal vote. And in the end, if the conscience of the group is one thing, even if it's not what I wanted it to be or not what I agree with, but that's the conscience of the group, and then I'm fine with that. And it also means that's the point I can kind of let go of it. I go, well, I said my bit, I did my bit, and maybe, and sure, you know, 6 months later I think about it, I go, yeah, that probably was the right thing, you know. Oh, they were, you know, it all works out in the end, you know. So it's been very practical. So in AA and then also beyond, you know, I've literally taken that out there into my life, you know, the workplace, you know, meeting, work meetings and sport and all that kind of stuff. And I've literally, it's come into my head. It's like there's something coming up. I feel myself, you know, arcing up and getting my personality, my defective personality, like wanting to get into something or wanting to just go, that's it, I'm throwing out my hands, I'm not doing anything. And, you know, that it's almost like fight or flight. And, or particularly if you're an alcoholic, like it just, you know, these things fire up. And yeah, I've been able to just go, oh, wait, all right, you know, pause when agitated. What's the principle here? What is the principle here? Let's take the personalities out of it, mine, and also that person. And they might be a difficult person. They might be, you know, they might be having a bad day. What is the principle at stake, you know? So it's, I think it's one of those things I've learned in AA, but it's been very practical, you know, and I've used it daily, incorrectly a lot of the time, as I imagine as well. But, you know, that's like tradition 12, in action nonstop, you know, for me. And this thing about anonymity, you know, so there's all those various types, isn't there? There's that kind of anonymity where I'm just pretending I'm not here in the beginning. There's the anonymity where we don't want to, there's not many of us, so we don't want a deluge of people applying to AA. And then it more and more, by the time you get up to here, it's more, as I said, it's more about humility and a spiritual principle. It's all these, like, the story of anonymity in AA has evolved itself, you know, and now has many different layers, if you like, and meanings, all of which still apply, I think. You know, for me, so it's still been, so it is this principle, but, you know, one principle I would say is it's up to the individual, right? It's up to you as an individual member, when and where and if and ever you break your anonymity, you know. And I have to recognize that there are times when it's the right thing to do. You know, there are times, and I have done, and it's been good. It's been the right time. And I've kind of I was probably worried about in the beginning, or I thought it would be an issue. I thought it would be a thing, and it hasn't been at all ever. It's weird. Like I've got, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you've got far more things to worry about most of the time, right? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, there'd be other people out there where it is a big deal, you know, to do with their careers and stuff like that. I understand that. I'm just saying for me, I'm wrapped up in other stuff. This hasn't been that big a deal. But there's been, generally at work, for example, I didn't really talk about it all that much, you know. Even though, well, I was in one of these jobs where you had to go out for drinks every Friday and all that, and I didn't drink, and people would every now and then, well, every week somebody would ask me, and say, oh, Bruce, you don't drink? And yes, I still don't drink. As same as last week. I still, you know, but it was all right. You know, they might ask me about it. And I said, oh, yeah, definitely used to, but I really, you know, it didn't work out for me. But I didn't go into the whole AA thing, like there and then, you know, in the pub at 5 p.m. on a Friday is at the time, but, you know, going into the whole AA thing. But there was other times, you know, like, for example, my doctor was asking me about it. And he said, oh, you don't drink? He said, that's interesting. How long's that been going on? And I just told him, you know, I just said, I'll go to AA and all that. And he said, yeah, I get patients who need to stop drinking. And I said, feel free, right? Just here's my number. I'm happy. If you get anyone that wants to chat about it, please get, you know, I'm happy to give you a call. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. And sure enough, he's done it. You know, I've had a few phone calls from people, you know, including a guy who's still a member of our group, just because he was in the doctor, right? And he was, you know, that's great, you know, but that was the right time to do it for me. That was my call, right? Someone else might have a different opinion. And also, like with friends, like I don't, like if we're at a dinner party, I'm not going to start going on about AA. It's just boring, everyone's to death. But, you know, it's like, it's just, and no one cares, no one's interested, but people will notice that I don't drink, and then somebody might ask me. And sure enough, I've had friends of my wife who've referred people to me over the years, you know, who've rung up and just said, look, I'm having trouble, what's the story? And I just, you know, tell them about my experience, you know, and say, you know, go along, check it out if you want to. Like, it, that's it, you know. So there's the right time to do it, or there's the right time where I should do it. Or if it didn't, I personally probably feel a bit remiss if I never did it, you know. So there's a time to do it, a time not to do it. And that, but that's up to each individual, you know. It's a bit of a judgment thing. And that's what I've found, you know. And I found it to be never been a problem, really. I can't think of any time where I've done it, and then I can't think of a single time where I've done it and then wished I hadn't, ever. You know, in 20 years. So, I mean, there must be, I'm sure there are examples where that's happened. And in the, but equally, I don't break anyone else's anonymity. I think that's also the point is, you know, it's what I do with my anonymity is one thing, but I can't break yours. You know, it sounds obvious, but, and they do mention, you know, in the early days that there were a few instances where they say, oh, look at so-and-so, and they'd be telling someone else's story. And we've got to alert, you know, remember that a lot of these traditions, which are written in a kind of succinct, you know, spiritual sounding sort of way, and there's a nice neat number, there's 12 of everything, and it all sounds like it's nice, it's packaged. All this stuff was learned out of hard-won experience. Like there's no given that this would be, in day one, there was no given that this would be an anonymous program necessarily. That's what, you know, they learned that and learned exactly what that means through a lot of experience. You know, as he says, there's a lot of people who were turned off it, you know, from some of those experiences in the early days. And, you know, and they, you know, they actually mentioned that point blank, you know, the people were scared about their anonymity being broken because they'd seen it happen. So they didn't come. So who knows what happened to them, you know? So we're lucky, you know, we're the lucky recipients of all that experience, which then got crystallized and simplified into the steps and traditions and concepts and all that stuff. And this one, as they say, is, you know, it's a principle which underscores everything, all the other ones, you know, and it's that spiritual principle which underlies everything. But at the same time, it's so much nuance. It's like it's you know, there's different reasons why it's there, and also you decide when you're going to do it. So it's, you know, even that it's not a sort of, it's not as clear cut as you might think, you know, or as I thought it was initially. So, but you know, it's not been a problem. And then, you know, as it sort of ends up, you know, in the long form, you know, it's quite interesting how they sort of lay it out. So it says, and finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we actually to practice a genuine humility, which is, I struggle with that. You know, I can do the kind of humility, but the genuine humility, that's now a whole new level, which I'm still struggling to get to. I do the pretend humility and then I go and tell everyone what I did. That's not really. So I think about like the halfway step. I'm halfway up the humility ladder. I'm clearly not struggling to get all the way there. Genuine humility, that's what we're aiming for. And it says, and then it tells you why, right? This to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us. And that's, you know, that's interesting, right? It's all the blessings and all the, if you get sober and your life starts getting better, and there's nowhere does it claim it's going to be perfect, or there's nowhere that all your problems will, you know, you're going to be free of problems and it's just going to sail up into the sunset on a pink cloud forever, right? But it is going to give you a chance to be a human being, have a human life and get out there and live life to the full. And if ever things are not going well, or you're having a bad day, or ever, just you know, for me, I just imagine what it would be like if I was drinking 20 years of proper alcoholic drinking. Where would I be now? You know, if I'd be, there's a good chance I wouldn't be here at all. Like a good chance, 20 years, there's a very good chance. And if I was, it would be pretty ugly. And that's it, you know. And it's these great blessings. But you catch me, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm not sitting here counting my blessings. I'm looking at the one thing over there that's wrong, you know. Why didn't that? Why did she say that? And all that, you know, as we do. So, you know, the humility and gratitude and all that's gone out the window, you know. And my, you know, not the anonymity, but what about me? You know, it's all just me with my attention and with my, geez, it's like you're sober, man. What more do you want, you know? you're lucky to be where you are at all, and you're worrying about the, you know, whatever the work thing is or whatever. And so it says genuine humility, and then it says, so our great blessings may never spoil us. And then that line, you know, and Susan already mentioned it, but it says, and this is the final line in the whole 12 by 12 book, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of him who presides over us all. And I don't know about you, but that's not quite how my 24-hour period goes. I sit there, you know, I like this image of me just sitting there in thankful contemplation of him as he presides over us. And it's, oh, thank you, you know. But, you know, it's something to work towards, something to aim towards. But the thing that will get me there is not more stuff or more anything or more Bruce, anything, you know. That won't get me anywhere there. It's the opposite, you know. It's if I can go and be a bit humble and maybe do something to help someone else, without, you know, necessarily having to get some sort of applause or a pat on the back or whatever, that's what, you know, that's gonna give me more serenity, you know, and give me make me happier, you know, and soberer as well. So it's, you know, wow, what you know, fascinating journey, you know, working through the whole, you know, these traditions are, you know, and I was so far from it being just this banner on the wall and this thing that I ignored for 2 years, probably, you know, I realized that it is absolutely the structure that holds this fellowship together and keeps us all, you know, keeps us all connected and keeps us all sober, you know. So I am grateful for that. And thank you for the opportunity to share on that, and have a great evening. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Bruce. Thanks for that great share. We'd now like to finish with the Serenity Prayer. Amanda, maybe would you like to take us out?
So, God of your own understanding, God grant us
serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the